Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But we're also streaming not only on the Odyssey app, but you can also find us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day.
Good day, sir. As I mentioned yesterday, a little change in programming for yours truly. Come on out, play some more music bingo with me tonight. Slider Inn in Midtown. We get started just at 7 o'clock.
I might have to stop on by. Ali and I've got dinner. We're running toss sweep with Josephine to my in-laws, so we're going to dinner, and then maybe we'll swing by afterwards, go check out George, because we're eating at Tonica tonight.
You can come and go as you please for Music Bingo. That's a great thing. You can win and stay as long or as short as you'd like. And even though George is not in South Haven tonight, trivia is still happening there at Dan McGinnis.
Correct.
As always, you can check out all the information at CerritoEntertainment.com. That voice is the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. Also the host of Right on the Right Trivia weekdays on the Jeff Calkins Show from 10:30, or I should say at 10:30. You can also join Kevin, Gabe Kuhn, and Connor Dunning at the Caesar Sportsbook inside the Horseshoe Casino. That is going to be a week from Saturday, September the 17th, for the college football.
27.
I beg your pardon, September 27th. Yeah, that would have been yesterday if it would have been, yes, the September. September 27th at the College Football Frenzy live trivia event, 12 until 3, so noon until 3. It is a massive, massive week of college football next week, so you can go check him out there. The website, again, CerritoEntertainment.com, on X at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings. Salutations, everyone. Great to be here. What is it, Thursday today?
Do you feel like you should get some benefits now?
Yeah, no.
Health insurance,
My day off.
Retirement
from
plan.
Radio.
Nice little, tight little 401k.
It would be great.
Maybe a little Vanguard in your life. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. It, of course, is Thursday, so we'll do what we do each and every Thursday. We'll take a look at the TV viewing schedule for sports, and we will set the agenda and set the menu, if you will. Eric Hasseltine's going to join us at the bottom part of the hour. We'll get into the list. We got a new soccer team. Will it work this time? I don't know. We'll discuss. The Big 12 is reportedly joining the ACC in including their replay command center during broadcasts.
When you say they're joining them, it's like, oh, they're going to merge.
That might be coming at some point. That is a story.
That's not happening yet.
But correct.
Replay.
At some point, I suspect that there will be some version of that. Also, the SEC is going to reveal the permanent opponents next week.
I can't wait for this. I can't. This is a TV special. This is going to be on the SEC network. It's got
to
be.
I think you should be able to draft them.
You should be able to draft.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good point. Let's talk about that later.
I think, and like that would be hilarious to like see. Would you want to?
Are you drafting hard or exciting opponents?
That is the other thing is everyone freaks out of if you the people that think they're gonna have three tough permanent opponents. You do realize if you're taking the three tougher ones, everyone's in the pool. You're gonna have easier games than the other six.
Correct.
So, but everyone's freaking out because
this every year. I want to look at some of those matchups later. I'm very excited about.
We're
going to
lose
really,
some big. We're going to lose some big rivalries.
You think we're going to lose them?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You would for sure if you were drafting.
Oh, we're losing LSU Florida.
All right.
And we're going to lose one of my favorite drunk games of the year. We just saw it last Saturday. I think we're going to lose Arkansas and Ole Miss.
I think you're more right on that one. Are you for sure on the LSU
sure.
Florida?
Because
like, who's going to be the other
I
one for
say,
Florida?
So Florida's obviously going to have Georgia.
They got to have Georgia because they got to play that game that's not
the
at
problem
any,
is
one
not
of
Tennessee.
Florida.
The problem is not Florida. I think that one's going away too.
I think you're going to get Florida LSU.
I think the problem is it's LSU because LSU, I believe,
they're
is going to have.
Everybody thinks LSU is their rival. So.
I think it's, I want to say it's Ole Miss,
LSU. Oh, for Florida?
For LSU, it'll be
Florida,
Ole Miss.
Maybe.
I believe A&M.
Arkansas?
And I think Arkansas.
Alabama? No?
Oh, no, that's it. It's Alabama, Ole Miss, I think A&M.
Wouldn't Mississippi State want dibs on it?
Because I think,
like, who's Mississippi State?
I think Arkansas wants to go back into an old school Southwest Conference.
Oh, an SWC
I think,
with
I think it's,
Oklahoma
I think they want Texas, Oklahoma, and A&M.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Let's take a closer.
I kind of like that.
I can't wait to take a closer look at this later because I do feel like every team maybe has the easy number one pick, and then after that, it does get a little tricky. But the number one pick,
I think
is obvious for every single team.
Okay, so would you bet on history, or would you bet on? So, for instance, I have this question: Vanderbilt is committed to playing football, and
Tennessee is their number one pick, I think, without question.
Okay, but so are you saying you think everyone, if you could pick the easiest, everyone would pick Vandy? Is that your
no,
assumption?
No, Mississippi State. No, I'm saying if you're picking the easiest, but is that what they're going to pick? Don't they want to sell tickets? You always say about, like, you know, ticket sales are going to be important. I guess the SEC is just not worried about as much as other people, but like for fan excitement and tickets. But I would emphasize that we're living in a market that has lost these type of exciting games.
Well, I do
you know,
think
Memphis
the thing,
does not have the exciting rivalry.
The thing
game,
that is
so
going to help.
I would rather Memphis is playing an easy schedule. What's better, playing an easy schedule or playing games like the Arkansas game where you're playing a team that you care that you're playing? So
I mean, it's a fascinating point, George. Could you look it up? Are the six rotators rotating every year, or is it a home and home?
Ooh.
Oh, when you rotate,
yeah,
I think you're supposed to play everybody within
so
2 years.
So the way when the SEC expanded in '92, you had your five division opponents, and then you had three. I think you had two. Originally, you had two permanent, one rotating from the other division. Then when they expanded, to 14, it was your six league or division opponents, one permanent, and then one rotator.
Do you mean current or the new format?
So in the
new
format starting next year, the three and six, is it going to be, can you read me what you got?
Yeah, so under the new format, this is just from the SEC's website, the SEC will continue with a single standings non-divisional structure. Each school will play three annual opponents focused on maintaining many traditional rivalries.
Yes, of course.
Which that is, I guess, kind of what we assumed anyway.
Because they're not rival. Yeah, your annual opponents is the official phrase.
Those three annual opponents.
Yes, that is very branded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Each team's remaining six games will rotate among the remaining conference schools, and each team will face every other SEC program at least once every 2 years, and every opponent home and away in 4 years.
Okay, so that means
it'll be on a full rotation.
You'll have a fresh batch every. So you'll have six non-rotators, and then you'll have six new ones the next year.
Yep.
Right, and then within 2 years, you've played every.
Correct. Okay.
Which so, I think this is the best way to do it.
And then every 4 years, it'll be home and then away.
And they might reshuffle. They could reshuffle down the line what your three annual opponents are. So they're not like get locked in for.
Hot take. I miss divisions.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think, I mean, but you got to.
It's fair.
We got to move on. This is where we are now,
yeah,
right? How can
I
make this work? I think their plan.
But I don't think it's made it as.
Makes sense. But somebody's going to be upset because if you're that team you miss out for your annual opponent means you're only going to play them once in a 2 year span.
No, I agree, but like I think
that is gonna suck.
I think everyone thought the getting rid of divisions would make it cleaner, and it really hasn't. Because you just took this huge pile and you just put it all together. And not only did you remove divisions.
Well, let's see how this plays out. I think because
I want pods.
I mean, that's what you're kind of getting these. You're getting
I know, but like I want
your
real
annual
ones.
Opponents. And let's jump in and
what is
and
that
really
almost more
to,
like a classic like round robin style?
It's basically
like
NFL. I just want NFL division. I just want to bring back divisions.
You play each division opponent,
yeah,
for sure every year, and then you guys just choose different
yeah.
Divisions.
Yeah,
all right. I can get behind that.
We'll get into the list also during hour number two. And I don't know if everyone's been following along, but Kevin and I have had an interest, and ESPN's promoting it.
Oh, you got it. You can't miss it.
I have no idea if I'm going to be able to watch WrestlePalooza.
Have you never missed a WrestlePalooza before?
I've never missed a WrestlePalooza before.
They've never had one before.
I was actually shocked that wasn't trademarked already.
Very shocked. It seems like a made-up WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean,
phrase.
Especially like when Palooza, like when Lollapalooza became a thing and we just started. Like,
somebody would have used it.
I am shocked there is not a Ring of Honor WrestlePalooza.
It sounds like a great name.
Yeah.
For sure. But, I mean.
We have no idea if we're going to be able to watch it.
It is the start of it's the start of a very interesting new relationship, right, between ESPN and professional wrestling. It's been going on for a little bit. It got rushed up to this weekend, so for very particular reasons, it's happening this weekend, this Saturday, whether or not we'll be able to access. It's a great test of the ESPN app, honestly, to figure out how easy is it to get to. But
so we'll discuss that and whether or not you can watch it, who can watch it. We'll discuss.
And should
it.
You watch?
Yes, we'll discuss.
It's a big wrestling Saturday.
We've already found out who's jerking the curtain, if you will. We'll discuss all of that. All right, so let's start with, we only got two games tonight, so there's not much. We have Rice as a road favorite for the first time in 2 years. They go to Charlotte, and if you want to watch this and you don't have money on the game, I just want to know why.
I mean,
if you have money on the game, I get it, and even then, this might be a scoreboard watch. But the other problem is, tonight, or Thursday night, prime time, or Thursday night,
It's a conference game. Like, if you're a Memphis fan, you know, cheering for the, you know, watching future
If these two teams impact the conference race, we got problems. Then we have grossly misjudged the league.
What is the other game?
The other game, not much better. We got Bills and Dolphins, and the Bills are 12.5-point favorites.
I mean, we know which one Jeff Calkins is not going to be watching. Happy birthday to Jeff Calkins, by the way. He's not going to be watching the Bills game, so he's probably not going to watch the other one either. Because he doesn't watch the Bills.
This might be one he might be able to get through.
You think he can?
Because he actually got through Saturday, or Sunday, no offense, George.
I get it.
He got to watch a lot of that one.
So if he turns it off early.
So see if y'all agree with this. George, I don't know how much you got to pay attention to Pat's Dolphins on Sunday.
I caught a good chunk of it.
So the Pats jump out to like a 12-0 lead. And if you're watching the game, you're sniffing around and you're like, oh, could this be Colts 2.0? I think the problem is the Pats aren't good enough to actually do what the Colts did to them and just run them out of the building. I think the Dolphins were kind of on, yet again, quit watch. But the Pats defense is not good enough, so they kind of stayed in the game and they hung around.
Yeah.
I am very curious to know what happens if the Bills jump on them tonight.
Yeah, the Dolphins hung around in that game, and like there were multiple opportunities in the last like couple of drives where the Dolphins, you could pretty easily look at the game and say, Miami probably should have won that one. Like, it was within reach. It's not like the Colts game, and it's not like tonight.
I said it on Monday, but it was a very college football-y NFL game. It was explosive plays, bad special teams, like not exactly well played, but it did get fun.
So I'm getting this is your strategic date night tonight then. Like, you looked at the slate this Thursday.
Oh, you act like I looked at the slate. I got a text message when I was on a post-game show last Saturday that just sent, it was just a screenshot of, I got us a table at Tonica on Thursday. I don't think she knew the Bills were playing, and she's a Bills fan.
Oh, that's right. So, but, I mean, it's you can miss tonight. You can miss tonight's slate of football. It's going to be fine, but she's a Bills fan. She likes to watch the game.
Correct. She actually does watch until so
she hates the Chiefs and likes the Bills.
She
drives a Honda Passport.
She hates playoff games. But she can watch regular season games because, in the end,
lower stakes.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
But then when the playoffs crank up, she starts treating it like Ole Miss games where she stops watching a quarter in. Like, she made. I was shocked on
how
the,
much of this
the Arkansas
weekend did
game,
she get through?
She made it to halftime.
Wow.
It was truly stunning.
Also, that's a game where you had, what, about 300, 400 yards total for halftime?
It was just track meet.
It was ridiculous.
So she made it to halftime. After Ole Miss punted in the to start the first half, it was she went downstairs. All right, so not a whole lot there. Friday, not much better. We have, I guess, a couple. If you're a sicko out there and you like the Anxiety Bowl, if Tulsa were to go to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State, I don't know if Mike Gundy survives. But again, that's
don't like
not,
the chances of that.
That's not really a game that I'm saying everybody needs to clear a path and watch that one. And then we got Iowa at Rutgers, and spoiler alert: Rutgers defense is actually not good. All right, so let's get to Saturday because it starts quite early. We got a game of local interest. We have a big-time national game. We actually have a pretty balanced slate. So I'm curious to know, Kevin, when you think about Arkansas at Memphis, have you thought more this week about where the excitement level you feel? Like, if you're taking the pulse of the fan base, where do you think – what are you grading it on a 1 to 10?
Oh, on the 1 to 10, it's in the middle, Jeffrey, right? What happens on Saturday will help move the needle, right? The buildup to it is, this is why this game is so important. And I've listened to some of the, while I was not on the air on 92.9 yesterday, I was listening to a lot of the discourse and the back and forth of the importance of this game and how I feel like the importance is huge. Right. So the, you know, conference realignment, does not, when it happens, it doesn't align what fans care about. And fans do care about these SEC games, right?
Sure.
It doesn't matter if you're not in the conference. It doesn't, like, you can break it down and say, well, man, Memphis technically can still win. They need to win the conference. They need to win these conference games. That's what's most important. Yada, yada, yada. But the fans don't care. They don't care. They didn't, their heart and their passion about who you're playing did not shift with the realignment when you're in a situation like Memphis, right? Like, you get one day, you still hate Louisville, the Louisville left, and you still don't like, you know, Arkansas, even though you've never been in the conference with them, right? Like, this game means a ton this weekend. People are not caring about it necessarily, but the win will be bigger for the fan base excitement than it will be for the placement of the Tigers, you know, where they go. Yes, it's not going to impact their playoffs necessarily, win or lose, but it will impact the passion, how passionate the fans are, how much the fans will support them the rest of the season, which will then, of course, help them win. You know, the more, I'm a believer in home field advantage and home court advantage in sports, and the more fans you have there and the more excitement around your program, it matters. It's not there right now. Like, we're in the middle part, right? Get to Saturday, most every TV in the city will be on this, and they'll be watching the game. And if Memphis wins, that's exactly what they need to make that excitement level go up.
So I was trying to think about it in these terms. Do we think part of the issue is, okay, hang with my hypothetical here.
Yeah,
let's say Arkansas had beaten Ole Miss on Saturday. Let's say they don't fumble, they score, Ole Miss can't score, and Arkansas wins the game. And Ole Miss were coming to town this week. Do you think it would be a bigger game?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, Ole Miss game is always going to be bigger in this era.
Because
Memphis just is.
So what I'm saying is, I don't think
Oxford's 90 minutes down the road.
I don't think the issue is that Arkansas's coming in 2-1 and they had a chance to get ranked maybe on Saturday, but they're not.
I think you might have seen more conversation nationally about it. Not much, but like, I think we would see more of it mentioned in different spots on previews for the weekend. Right now, it's like non-existent nationally as a game, but if it was two undefeated teams, maybe it would be a blur of also two undefeated teams playing.
Yeah, and you know that ABC and or so ESPN
that can't add
it
to your excitement.
Correct.
When you see your team on television.
Correct.
Being talked about or mentioned.
So I was wondering if this is an issue. Even though it's two states that are separated by a river, and there's a lot of Arkansas people in town, and there's a lot of people here that go to Arkansas, or like kids that go to Arkansas, whatnot.
Yes.
Does the fact that they haven't played since 98, does that kind of impact? Because it feels like even the Mississippi State game a couple of years ago, State was kind of in a similar spot that Arkansas is in right now. Like, hey, pretty exciting offense. Don't really know what they have on defense. We don't expect them to be a part of the SEC equation this year, but they're coming to town, and it felt like there was more excitement. What I can't figure out is I view these games fairly similarly, but it seemed like there was way more fanfare about that game than this game. But I also can't tell if, well, maybe it has to do with everyone just being kind of beaten down from conference realignment. There's not the excitement. The Soarfield era is at best like, I think fine.
That, okay, that's part of it. Sure, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of these factors.
There's a lot of factors, I think, that go in to that. But come Saturday, it can be a big deal if they win. And if they don't, then I think we're going to have this kind of the same mood. But you bring up great points. Like, Memphis always, you know, we claim not to people from Memphis when you're from Memphis, right? You're not necessarily from the state of Tennessee, right? You don't really say that.
I never think of myself as a Tennessean, and I'm not even – I feel like I'm not in the whole, like, you know, Memphis
that,
versus everybody again.
And I say that, too, and it's just hard to explain because, like, when you just see like Tennessean, like, or Kenny Chesney sings about being a Tennessean or something, like, you don't connect to that. Like, you just really can't – I don't hear it. Like, that's me. He's – you know, I just, anyway. Like, it's a really hard thing to explain unless you're from Memphis. It's a bizarre connection that we do not have with the state.
Well, like, we kind of make fun of it. Like, with Florida being three states in one, the reality is, like, our flag has three stars on it for a reason.
Right, there really three different are sections, yeah.
Three very distinct regions with very distinct cultures, very, like...
And you'll learn that in Tennessee history. But they... Or used to.
I don't think that's
what's going on now, but the... don't you feel more of a connection? Not to say with... The connection with Mississippi is almost just as much as it is with Tennessee. But for some reason, Arkansas seems a little bit, obviously, the number three. As far as a Memphian, like, what state do you feel like you live next to and are a part of? Like, however you want to rank the states. Like, Arkansas is always going to be the third one. I think you might have a point because of the river. You have to cross that bridge to get over there.
I think more of it's
even though Arkansas is right there, and there's so many people in Arkansas who are listening to this station right now who drive to work in this city. But for some reason, it does not seem as close and as part of who we are than Mississippi, or maybe that's just my view.
No, I mean, I almost wonder if it's as simple as this. Like, when you cross into Arkansas, it's a lot of farmland. Like, yeah, obviously there's West Memphis there and then whatnot, but it's like...
Right, there's the casino and then...
But really, when you cross, like, state line into Mississippi, it just kind of feels like a continuation.
Right. There's a true... Yeah,
It doesn't feel that much... Like, think about it in these terms.
And they've been raising canes.
Well, like, back when we used to have the outlets off Canada Road.
Right.
Like, it feels like that. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm on 50, instead of 55 and seeing the outlets, like, heading to the outskirts.
Right.
I was on 40 and I would see the outlets. Like, I don't know.
But I don't know if that plays a factor in this. I do think you're talking the length of the game being as far away. There's just not the excitement around the football team. And look,
I mean, I do also think, like, if Ole Miss were in town, I don't know if it's still the case, and probably isn't anymore, but, like, 15 years ago, Memphis was still the number one alumni base for Ole Miss grads.
And I think it probably still is, I would think.
I would think, but I don't know.
I mean, your problem with Mississippi State is, right, so most Memphis fans don't like Ole Miss fans. Ole Miss fans don't like Mississippi State, so by proxy, you're not really hating Mississippi State. I do think you have the ability, Memphis fans do, to have, like, that true rivalry animosity towards Arkansas than you would against, like, a Mississippi State, who's the other – when we bring them up, because that's the other SEC opponent that Memphis has played recently and will continue to play, apparently, still right now. I don't – I think it's the other factors. I don't think it has anything to do with Arkansas and itself as them being the opponent or where they are. Undefeated or not. I mean, would there be bigger deal if they were a top 10 team or something and they were coming to town?
I think the buzz then
is more about the opponent than the actual game and your team, right?
Yeah, but I do think if they had a number next to their name and they're undefeated, I think it'd be bigger. I don't know if it would be...
Would the buzz be that much?
Like, I don't know if it's...
It would be bigger.
I don't know if it's a fever pitch.
Because you would get to take down the goalpost if you win. If they have a number next to their name, no matter what number, do you take down the goalpost?
That's a good question. Did y'all see Tulane rush the field after they beat Duke?
I did not see that. It was not a basketball game played on the football
field. They did not take down the goalpost, but they did rush the field.
It was a basketball game. They can do that.
I couldn't tell if it was like a FU to Mensa. Like, hey,
that's how I kind of read into it. Because, I mean,
it was... I will say this. It was a low speed rushing of the field. It was not like...
I mean, it's pretty hot down there.
But the fan interest will jump up, I think, if the Tigers win, right? And it's not necessary. They don't have to win this to get fan excitement. Like, the fan excitement could kick in at the end of the year if they win the conference and win the conference championship and go to the playoffs. There's definitely going to be some excitement in that. This can get the momentum going, right? That could lead to that and make fans want to go to all these marquee home games they've got, right? They've got big conference home games that the Tigers need to win on the schedule, and are fans going to be interested in that once basketball season starts in this market? Historically, no. Like, once basketball season starts, fans check out unless it is one of those historically relevant seasons. Really, if you lose to Arkansas, you're going to have one loss next to your name. Fans aren't going to believe it's historically relevant and that the path is as great as it is. And I'm just worried, Jeffrey, like, and I'm going to worry about stuff. I don't see why in the world. I'll be honest. Look, I want Memphis to have the opportunity every year to make the college football playoffs. I'm worried we're not long for them getting rid of this guaranteed spot. Because, like, what are they doing guaranteeing a spot in this college football playoffs to this Memphis team or South Florida team? As much as I love them and want to see them compete on the high stage, like, what are they doing, avoiding
lawsuits,
guaranteeing this one spot? So they're just going to guarantee it every year. It's like the 16 seed in the NCAA tournament.
As long as we have a system in place that mirrors this,
I shouldn't be worried about that.
No, if there's a breakaway, and like they start their own league, well then yeah, that's not going to get included. But as long as you're still kind of doing something that resembles this version, yes, they're afraid of the antitrust exemptions.
Because look at what has happened, right? Like, the four teams that had a chance to get in, right? South Florida gets just embarrassed by possibly the future champions of Miami last weekend. Boise State loses their first game of the year to one of the teams, right, that could be going. And then, so here's Memphis now coming in, projected 7-point underdog, right?
Yep. 7.5.
7.5 against this Arkansas team that is one of the four teams that are not ranked in the SEC. So, like, it's, what are we doing here? If Memphis wins and has a great season, I do think it's possible they can, you know, earn it. But there's not much competition right now outside of the power group. And that's why the opportunity is so great. And you should be excited about it, because Memphis right now, the best thing about being in the American is the opportunity that you have is greater than anybody else's to make it to the college football playoffs and to compete on that big stage and make a statement to the nation, college football nation, that, hey, Memphis is for real when it comes to the pigskin.
All right, the other two noteworthy games early.
We're all starting that, right? I mean, there's obviously, that's where the day is starting at 11. What's happening else at 11?
So we've flipping? Also got Texas Tech goes to Utah, 10 a.m. kickoff time at Utah. I think whoever wins this is the favorite in the Big 12. Iowa State can obviously have something to say about it, but these seem to be the teams that most everybody believes in their rosters the most. We don't really know anything about any of these teams, because while Utah played UCLA week one, it turns out UCLA might be one of the worst teams in all of, honestly, college football. I mean, when you're getting just absolutely run by New Mexico, who knows? Whereas Texas Tech has played nobody, but they've beaten the crap out of them. That's another one that's going to be the national game that will have everyone's attention at 11 a.m. Also,
it doesn't have mine, but I mean, of course, you
know, we have the final battle of the Iron Skillet, SMU at TCU. 104 years of history going away.
Well, that's important. So SMU TCU playing the early slot as well.
Correct, and then a game that I'm watching from the American Conference perspective, I think North Texas might be the fourth team to kind of enter the discussion of who are the favorites in the American. Like, I think they might have played their way in it, but this has been a game that historically they've not played very well in. But
who do they have?
They have Army. But North Texas.
It's North Texas's offense that's good.
Correct, but the difference between this year and other years prior, Eric Morris, the head coach at North Texas, went and hired the Sam Houston State defensive coordinator. So when Sam Houston's coaching staff went and took the Temple gig, he wanted to stay in Texas. He goes up to UNT, and he brings like seven starters with him. And so Sam Houston State, before you roll your eyes, they did have a very good defense. G5 or G6, whatever we're calling it now, they had a very good defense.
But they're gutted.
Correct. So the question is,
That is an interesting game for sure.
And that can impact the standings a lot because
Memphis does not play North Texas this year, right?
And they do not have North Texas, and they don't have Army.
And they don't have Army. They're both playing each other. But North Texas with that big, big win last weekend.
An absolute dismantling.
40-something points, right?
It was 42-3 at half. I think it finished like 56-10 or 52-10, something like that.
Defeating Pac-12, biggest brand, Washington State.
I am very concerned for Washington State coming to Oxford.
Wazoo and Oregon State, I think.
They're coming to Oxford?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Wake
when
canceled
Wake
the game.
Quit.
Oh, that'll be... Yeah.
So,
yikes!
I think Washington and Oregon State got beat like a combined 96-20 this week. Yeah, they had
pretty bad.
Oregon State
for the
went to Texas Tech and got slaughtered.
At least Texas Tech, like we know,
correct.
That's a very, very
it's a well-paid roster,
definitely well-funded.
All right, let's get to the afternoon slate, the 2:30 game that I think has the most attention. Is going to be Auburn and Oklahoma, two teams that entered the year in very similar fashions where coaches that were, if not on the hot seat, on the what are we doing here seat, and they've both gotten off to great starts. And now it's kind of, it's the, obviously the Jackson Arnold return game. So you have all that drama. Yet weirdly, I don't know if we really know anything about either team. Like they've looked good so far. Oklahoma largely dismantled Michigan. Auburn made quick work of Baylor. But at the same time, it's like, I have no idea what to expect from this game. If you look at Oklahoma's injury report, not the greatest thing in the world to look at. But at the same time, you got to think if someone's going to have a very good game plan against Jackson Arnold, it would be the coach that basically said, please leave.
Yeah. That is a very fascinating SEC matchup. But, I mean, I'm looking at Tulane Ole Miss.
We got Tulane at Ole Miss, because also at 2:30.
I mean,
we also have Nebraska hosting Michigan.
But ooh. Tulane gets the winner of last week's game, and we get the loser of last week's game. Both teams trying to get in the college football playoffs. It's a fascinating week.
The difference,
it's
though,
it's going to be a true tester.
Tulane does.
On the road.
Granted,
they're on the road.
This would be their biggest win, but Tulane does have. Air
a lot
quotes,
of other chances.
Air quotes, P4 wins against Duke and against right. Northwestern.
For sure, yeah. Tulane wins. They are looking nice.
If Tulane wins, they regain the like the pole position.
Do they go in the top 25?
Yes, they would be. They'd be right.
Yes.
I don't know. Not if Notre Dame loses again this weekend. I think Notre Dame's going to stick in that
top
25.
Well, they got a tough Purdue team coming in. And Purdue did play USC surprisingly well. They covered.
Yeah, that game also at the same time.
Correct.
I like this afternoon. Once the Memphis game is over, no reason to get off your couch or go too far from the tailgate there at Tiger Lane.
We also have the Michigan and Nebraska game. That's kind of like, all right, Nebraska, you want to get taken seriously, win this game. With Michigan, there's also the question of, like, if they win this game and they look impressive, I actually think it's bad for Sherrone Moore because that would be back-to-back games in which he wasn't on the sideline, wasn't a part of game planning, and if all of a sudden they look good, you're going to start wondering, like, is this the guy? Because, again, they played Central Michigan last week. Let's be very clear, opponent-dependent. But when you watched Michigan play, you're like, oh, my God, like, why didn't y'all do more of this? And, again, Central Michigan, want to be very clear. But if they come out and they do that to Nebraska, I think it gets very interesting. Especially if the rest of the season Underwood looks kind of iffy, and then you're sitting there going like, okay, is this the guy that we want to trust with Bryce Underwood the rest of his career? That's always an interesting one for me. North Carolina goes to, as Bill Belichick referred to it, Central, also known as Central Florida.
UCF.
Correct. No, if you really want to get under the skin, call him Central Florida.
All right.
That's... I'm just saying.
I like that. I don't
know
why. You want
to fight fire with fire.
So Central University of Central, UCF does not want to be called Central Florida. I think they...
Correct. They want to be called UCF.
It's a little more clear. It's a lot clearer, especially when there's the USF.
Mm-hmm.
You would want to, you know, identify yourself in a non-confusing way.
As Kevin mentioned, Purdue at Notre Dame. Then let's go to the evening slate because it's also another pretty good evening slate. And I can't believe we live in this world. Illinois and Indiana is a great football game.
Yes.
That's a true statement. It's the same thing as last week when he said, no irony, I'm excited to watch South Carolina and Vanderbilt. I'm excited to watch Indiana at Illinois, or Illinois at Indiana. Also in that window, we have Florida at Miami. I think it'll be fascinating to see, does Florida keep playing? Because they played hard against LSU. Their quarterback threw five picks. But I also start to wonder, Florida, whose defense has played pretty well this season, if you sit there and you're watching your offense struggle again, is there a laydown factor?
I mean, there's a great chance that Miami makes a huge statement, right? Because, I mean, they are starting to look like my pick.
Death Star adjacent.
Right? What they did last week was impressive. Say what you want about South Florida, mm-hmm. right? But they've got regular Florida this weekend, and I think that's definitely a great chance for Miami to prove something here.
Also, if you're interested, Boise begins their soft Mountain West slate. They go to Air Force. We also have a schedule win for Vanderbilt, Georgia State, even though it's a revenge game. Diego, rest up, buddy. You got 2 weeks. We'll be laying whatever the number is when Stanford goes across the country to play Virginia. We are looking forward to that. Also, Arizona State at Baylor. That's another interesting Big 12 game. BYU, I'd like to know why this is on the schedule.
Both those teams need a win.
Yes.
Here, a signature win early.
Somehow BYU is going to Greenville to play ECU.
Wait, say that again?
Why?
I don't know.
BYU is going to East Carolina.
Correct. You want to talk about trap spots of trap spots.
But also like what this Memphis schedule, come on now. How come we gotta be able to get some more opponents to come here and travel to this? Maybe when the stadium gets remodeled, they'll want to come check out the renovation.
I mean, but if would they you can be get more BYU, eager to go what, play East Carolina than you would to play here?
No.
I don't know. I mean,
at least Memphis, you lose. Like, it's a respectable something. I don't know. Get it?
Is it fair to ask for a lot of these? Is when was this scheduled? Because it could have been scheduled 8 years ago.
There's a couple things. Is when was this scheduled?
Yeah.
Why would you ever go to East Carolina? I mean,
did somebody take another's coach and have to have a schedule thing?
It had to be 20 years ago, if you're talking about how many years ago. That'd be like when D'Angelo was playing for the Tigers was the last time ECU had a respectable program.
To George's point, I do wonder, was this scheduled when BYU was still an independent?
Who's the governor of East Carolina right now? They probably got involved in this.
Does anybody out there remember the Liberty Bowl where Stanford came to town and they played ECU and they did a tribute to the 51st state?
They really?
The Stanford halftime bands was a tribute to the 51st state, that little one over there, East Carolina.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's on brand for Stanford. That's on brand.
They don't make them like they used to.
That's great.
Then late slate, we don't have a whole lot. Cal goes to San Diego State. Michigan State goes to USC. And then we have the island. Fresno State goes to Hawaii. All right, let's take a quick break.
Mahalo.
When we come back, Eric Hastein joins the program. We'll talk to him next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Music is, of course, the music of Eric Hasson, the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer, kind enough to join us each and every Thursday. Eric, this comes to us from Spotrac. The NBA does not expect to have a resolution on the Kawhi Leonard salary cap circumvention investigation until after the All-Star game. Do you happen to know who's hosting the All-Star game?
Yeah, L.A.
What an unbelievable coincidence!
Yeah, man, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It really was not even a point of conversation.
Oh, did y'all have the announcer meeting yesterday, the broadcaster meeting?
Yeah, they were up in New Jersey the last couple days, and no one really talked about it. No one really brought it up. So I don't know what's going on, man. It's maybe they're trying to do their due diligence. Maybe, you know, they are waiting till after that to not have that be a focal point of that weekend and just want to get through that. I honestly couldn't tell you, but obviously they need to make sure they get it right, though. So I again, as we talked about before, if it's true and they find out it's true, I just highly doubt it's the only person to.
I'm with you entirely on this. I did wonder, though, from this perspective, do you think kind of this uncertainty, this cloud, do you think that can actually have an impact on the Clippers this year?
Yes. I 100% do. I mean, you can go through so many different events in sports when there's something off the field, off the court that is getting asked, talked about, brought up. I mean, I'm watching that Netflix series on the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
And after the first Super Bowl, yeah, it's really good. And I'm not a Cowboy fan, but it's fascinating. And I remember those times, and I remember how bad they were, and I remember that group coming in. And the one thing I thought they didn't do, side note, they didn't do enough service to, was I remember that was back when Sports Illustrated would have those ads, and, you know, before the season, you know, sign up for delivery and get your favorite team's hoodie or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had Peter King, who was a writer, and he said, if I had to pick one team right now that's going to be a surprise team and could very well win the Super Bowl, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. And that was the year they beat Buffalo when they went to San Francisco and won that game. But then you talk about after that first Super Bowl where Emmitt Smith said, I won Rookie of the Year. I was led the league in rushing. I felt like I was the best running back in the league. I wanted to be paid as such. And Jerry Jones wasn't going to do it. And to the point where, as you saw in the documentary, Charles Haley threw a helmet into a wall.
Who was the Alabama running back that the rookie?
Oh, I just saw it and I forgot his name. He dropped like the first pass thrown to him on Sunday night.
Yeah, that was a tough start.
Against the Bills the next week. And, yeah, it was. We never heard from him again. And Emmitt Smith ended up signing the deal that made him the highest paid running back. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, the point is, whenever you have these things lingering over a team, they tend to take attention away from what's important. So it's hard for me to think that won't be something that lingers there a little bit. Now, as a player, if it doesn't affect you, you have to just move past it. But it's easier said than done because you know these guys are going to hear it, talk about it. And so it's been relatively quiet on that front, so I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. But we'll see. We'll see. The only time will tell. But like we said a couple weeks ago, it's hard for me to believe, and if this is found to be true, that there weren't some other cases of this possibly.
You're obviously not in the prediction business. You're in the reaction and call it business. But if you had to stack up the West behind Oklahoma City, how would you do it as we head into the season?
Loaded, man. That was a big topic of conversation these last couple days with all the announcers. We were all saying, "Boy, this is going to be insane." I mean, you have to put Houston right there. I think you still have to keep Denver in that conversation. I think you have to keep the Clippers there if they are healthy. Obviously, there's some differences now. Norman Powell is gone to Miami, but you've still got, you know, Harden and Leonard and now Chris Paul backing up. And I think one of the most underrated bigs in Ivica Zubac. What will the Lakers be with a full training camp and supposedly redesigned Luka Doncic with less weight on the frame? The Warriors were lights out when Jimmy Butler joined them. I mean, the list goes on. What's Minnesota? How's Anthony Edwards take another step? The Grizzlies fall into that mix. How big a leap does San Antonio take? I mean, I think you look at – I always try to go bottom to top, and I think you look and you say, okay, Utah, Phoenix, Portland very well could be a struggle. That leaves you with 12. Where is
Are you putting New Orleans in a different category?
I would put New Orleans and Sacramento in the – probably not their year, but you never know. Like, hey, look, if Zion Williamson is healthy and New Orleans finds some chemistry there, they're not going to be an easy out. I didn't understand the draft pick when you took Meesey and then went right back and took another big when Meesey was pretty good last year. But I think New Orleans and Sacramento fall in there, and then you have, like, the Grizzlies and, teams that – you're like, okay, where do they rank in this group? What happens? The Warriors, the Lakers, the teams that are kind of could be really good, could with one injury be left out of the mix. And we know that the Grizzlies are going to start a little banged up. So, man, it's a crazy time because you talk about the East and talking to some of those guys, and everybody's like, boy, if it's not our year, a couple of teams are like, if it's not our year this year, we don't know when, because you're getting the benefit of missing a couple of very key players on the defending Eastern Conference champion with Halliburton and then the defending world champion from a season ago, the Boston Celtics without Tatum. Now you're like, okay, the door's open. The door's open for the Clevelands and the Detroits and the Knicks of the world. And then how does it shake out after that? Where does Orlando fall in with the addition of Desmond Bane? So the overall message felt like the league is super excited about this year and the possibilities of the numerous storylines. And I don't disagree with that. I think when you talk about the league being in a good place, and I know some people, you'll hear people complain, oh, they shoot too many threes, they do this. I get that. But overall, I think if you look at star power and the notion that you no longer have to build a team with three megastars and then just fill in the gaps. You have to build a team. It's hitting home. And organizations are building teams, and they're trying to do it as best they can, whether that's organically like Oklahoma City, whether that's through free agency and trades like the way the Knicks did. Take your pick. But the organic way is working. Obviously, it worked for both Boston the year before and, Oklahoma City this year. And how about this? 7 straight years of 7 different champions. And I don't think there's been, repeats of finalists a lot. No one's gone back.
I think it's the last repeat finalist is the last year that we saw the Cavs and Warriors. So is that 2018?
Yeah. So, you've had multiple teams make the finals. Well, that speaks to parity, and that speaks to roster construction. So, I mean, that's an exciting thing. And I think you could, again, see odds are you're probably going to see a repeat in the West based on talent-wise, but we don't know. We don't know if there's an injury there. We don't know if something happens or they catch up to the, you know, someone catches up to the way the Thunder are, they appear to that they're going to be a stalwart for at least the next 5 or 6 years. And that's through nothing but their own roster construction. Yeah, they added Hartenstein, but you look at their top players, you know, the rest of their top eight players, they were all selected by the Thunder pretty much, other than Caruso. So that's a good thing. And I, you know, again, I know people are curious about what the Grizzlies are going to be, and it's going to be get as healthy as you can, as fast as you can, and hopefully we see a lot of 12 and Jaren's now 8, right?
Yeah.
12 and 8 on the floor would be a lot of that together would be good. Getting Zach Edey on the floor would be good. So, and getting a healthy Brandon Clark will be good. So, yeah, they're not just going to go out and go, you know, 30 and 52 unless there were some serious issues and, you know, injury troubles or things like that. So, every night's going to be a challenge, buddy. I was looking at the schedule last night, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, where is there a time where you can kind of catch your breath? There's not. There's just not.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the differences between the conferences, because I had mentioned this to Harrington last week. It is funny, and I understand how the top of the league oftentimes dictates how the Chasers react. But if you look at it philosophically, to your point about the East, it feels like almost everyone in the East was like, let's cash in our chips. Let's try to go for it. We've got Boston down. We've got Indiana down. And it felt like most teams in the West are like, okay, hang on. If the Thunder are going to be the team, we've got to figure out how, if we had three high-paid guys, we got to figure out how to get it down to two. We're going to have more depth. Like, it is funny how it felt like more teams in the East kind of cashed in where teams in the West were kind of trying to figure out how to reconfigure. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think because you see Oklahoma City and you see how they won it, they just kept coming. And we talked about that as a group when in the first round. Like, you're playing them tough. You're within a couple of buckets, and they bring in another wave of guys, and you look up, and 4 minutes later, you're down 9 or 10 or 11, and you're like, dang. And if you go back to when the Grizzlies were at the beginning of the stretch with Taylor Jenkins, when they were finishing as the 2 seed, that's what they kept doing. They would break your spirit. They'd just keep bringing guys in and keep pushing the tempo and grabbing the ball out of the net and coming right back at you. They'd have a lead. You'd hit a big three, but you look down on the other end 2 seconds later and they're taking a three and knocking it down. You're like, what just happened? And that's kind of what the Thunder thrived on, I thought, last year. And Denver's done that when they had depth. And, you know, that's why they went on to win a title. You got to have the depth. You can't just play with 4 or 5 really good players and hope that you can find 3 guys in your locker room that can fill the gap when they take some breaks. That's just not the way the league is anymore. There's too much talent. There's too many guys that can really play that may not be regulars in their team's specific rotation but could be a lot of other places. You know, take your pick of guys you look at. You look at a Cason Wallace or a Lou Dort in Oklahoma City or a Christian Brown or a Peyton Watson in Denver, even Julian Strother, who's like didn't see a lot of time. I watched him in games come in and hurt teams. You know, McDaniels in Minnesota worked his way into that role, but they had plenty of those guys there too that when they come in, they make an impact. And so you got to find those 7th and 8th and 9th guys that are making an impact when they're on the floor and not just trying to hold a lead, if you catch my drift. That was a big part of the league back in the, you know, Gasol and Randolph and Tony Allen, Mike Conley years, is like you were hoping your secondary guys could just not squander a lead or let a lead balloon. And one of the reasons the Grizzlies had one of their best years, even though they were eliminated, I think, by the Warriors, is you go back to that year that the Warriors said that was the toughest series we played. That second unit for the Grizzlies that had Nick Kalaitis and Kosta Kufos and Courtney Lee was part of that mix who played on both sides of it. And you had the core four and then you had extra players. You're like, boy, they just had another guy ready to go. And so you need those guys to get time. You need those guys to get experience and you need them to be productive. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that a lot of Eastern Conference teams are cashing in for a 2-year run right now, because even when Tatum and Halliburton come back, what version of themselves will they be? Usually an Achilles is, it's not just a year to recover and get back. It's like 18 months to get to where you were. And some guys honestly don't always get back to that. I mean, we saw the most notable one I ever remember was Wes Matthews. the year the Grizzlies bounced the Blazers, Wes Matthews rupturing his Achilles 3 weeks before the end of the season, we went, oh, that's it. We got this. Like, that's the guy that hurts us. If they don't have him, we got it. And he was never the same player after he came back from that. So age, body style has a factor in it. So I'm not surprised that teams in the East are trying to capitalize on this opportunity.
Eric, we appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Eric Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. We come back, we get into the list. The SEC is going to 9 games. We'll tell you about the predictions of who each school's top 3 will be. We've also had some news on how you're going to get the commercial appeal. We'll get into that and more. Also, we got WrestlePalooza. Are you actually going to be able to watch it? We'll tell you whether or not you can on Saturday when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.